Welcome, Dr. Finkelstein. How are you today?
I am great, Ian. Thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent. Well, whether we like it or not, and the Americans are split down the middle, the Affordable Care Act is the law of the land. Just tell me what your general impression is.
Well, you know, when it first was a subject in the campaigns, but then when it really became sort of active in Congress several years ago, 3 years ago or so, I wrote an op-ed piece, and I still remain somewhat confused. I think as many Americans are, in terms of what it's doing and what it's not doing. And I'm a little skeptical, frankly, that even though the intention is to make affordable health available for everyone, which I certainly support, I'm skeptical that this particular law is going to practically do that. And I'm concerned that it will continue to sort of populate the negative aspects of a healthcare system that I think is badly broken. And what I mean by that is, it's not that the doctors are bad. It's not that the hospitals are not doing a good job. It's not even that insurance companies are all bad or pharmaceutical companies. It's how Americans expect to be treated and how they expect to become healthy that is of concern to me, that none of this and none of the discussions is there a real conversation about how important it is for people to take care of themselves, because insurance is for the day when you do have something unusual happen and you need some help financially to cover the expense of being taken care of. But it's not for the day-to-day how do you take care of yourself. And I worry that the whole movement here on both sides of the aisle is distracting what I think is the most important conversation to have, which is how do people take care of themselves. As an example, most people have auto insurance if they have a car. But when you need gas in your car, you're not expecting your insurance company to pay for it. When you need an oil change or you need new tires, that's not what you look for your insurance. But when you get into an accident and you need half your car restored, well, that's different. Then the thousands of dollars that go into that, you're happy you pay a couple hundred dollars a year or more, obviously, to have that benefit. But in healthcare, we expect everything we do to be covered to some extent. And we forget that the things we do at home are maybe more essential to our health than what we wait and expect from our doctors.
Right. That's like health maintenance. So all these people who are signing up right away, despite the fact that there's been widespread opposition to this law among at least half of Americans, the expectation was that a certain number of people would sign up for this, but now 250,000 people a day have been trying to get on to the government's website. So what have all these people been doing every day, just waiting around for someone to rescue them?
Well, that's a really good comment and an important one because, I like the idea of having insurance for the catastrophes, for the extreme, unexpected or even expected things that inevitably happen to people. But are those people really investing any of their time or energy right now in reading a book or thinking seriously about how they take care of themselves so they don't need this insurance? Isn't that the ideal? Wouldn't that be what we should be educating our children about? Shouldn't the school food programs reflect our interest in prevention? This is what confuses me, is that, our political leadership and even us as a culture and population is largely, sitting back waiting for other people to do the work for us.
Right. I'm of two minds about that, too. It's been bothering me for years that nearly 50 million Americans have been uninsured. That's the problem. And the fact that so many people have been signing on for this thing out of desperation, obviously, well, most of them hardworking people who should be getting some coverage. But what have we been doing in the meantime for those people? What have we been doing in terms of education, in terms of prevention, and what have those people been doing for themselves? They should not be just simply expecting someone to take care of them when they should be taking care of themselves. So I'm really of two minds about it, too. I really don't know what to think.
And I'm going to say again, I really care about the people who are underinsured.
Right.
Because, and this is really, I think, even more evidence of what I'm saying. Because somebody doesn't have insurance, and I know many people like that, they often don't they say, well, I can't bother with it. You know, I don't even have this option of getting a screening test, or and that's not necessarily true. They're not being guided to do some basic things for themselves that they probably could afford, or prioritize differently and do whatever they could to try to afford, but they're not being educated well. There's some basic things that all people can do to prevent cancer, as an example. So, yes, women should have screening, you know, pap smears. Mammography is controversial, as I talked about with one of my guests, Nancy Capello, recently. But there's still some value in considering early detection of diseases, whether that's breast cancer or colon cancer. But what about preventing them to begin with? Wouldn't that still be better? And I don't hear the conversation about that.
Right. And the Affordable Care Act is attempting to address some of these challenges by making preventive screenings for some of these things like colonoscopies and mammograms free for most, you know, many if not most. And I do hope that that works out better for our health. But again, I think that ultimately is a good thing and a progressive thing. Although I agree with you that if we are taking care of ourselves in general and if things were going in that direction, if the government was helping us do that, I think that would be better than people just waiting around for someone to rescue them from clearly what's a bad lifestyle. If we just were simply to stand around in a mall parking lot and look in general at Americans and our state of health, we would see the reason why chronic disease is on the dramatic rise as opposed to on the decline. It's the things that we're putting into our bodies that clearly is the problem. It's not the fact that the government has not taken care of us. It's that we're not taking care of ourselves. And I know it sounds harsh, but it's just obvious. We're making terrible decisions about what we're eating, how we're sleeping, et cetera. And that's a cultural phenomenon. That's a problem. And we need to solve that for ourselves. We can't wait for someone to do that for us. Do you agree with that as a doctor?
100%. And so, you know, the actual term of this law is the Affordable Care Act. But here's what I would say. What's really not affordable is to not take care of yourself, is to just follow the people at the mall. And so we, and our political leadership, unfortunately, is not getting it, and they've got real problems, obviously. I don't need to go into it here, but, I mean, it's sort of absurd. But they're clearly not helping us here. So we can't wait for them to sort of educate us. We can't wait for them to help us help our kids differently, to learn to move again, to turn down the noises and the media that is leading us to purchase these things, which are definitely not contributing to our well-being. So we, ultimately, anyone who's listening has got to look in the mirror and say, you're the person who's going to help me most. And it's not something I can afford by waiting or assuming somebody else is going to do it.
Right. And so you've already sold your own audience. They're already listening to you. So it doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans, and it doesn't matter whether they're conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter. They need to take care of themselves. So let's in the time that we've got left, start laying out what people can do. No one's going to care as much as they do, not Obama, not the government, not really even their spouse or their kids or their parents. No one will really care as much as they do, or they should care, about taking care of themselves. Let's just spell out some simple things that they can do, you know, starting today to take care of themselves and not wait for their insurance to do it or the government to do it. Nice and simple. What's the prescription for how they can take care of themselves starting today?
Well, I think there's a couple of basic things. One is we need to get back into a better rhythm. People are working all sorts of strange hours, and they're shopping all sorts of strange hours, and they're engaged in conversations. And so instead of resting, we're busy all the time. And this busyness and this activity, which is not really physical activity, of course, I'm talking about, is keeping us sort of out of sync with the rhythms and cycles of nature. Like, we're up all night on the computers or on TV or whatever we are. And so we need rest at night, and we need to unplug periodically. I would say people need to get into a rhythm again where once a week, call it a Sabbath or call it Sunday, I don't care what you call it, but that's a day you unplug. And you understand that you have to get into a slower rhythm. I think that's number one. When we're swimming upstream like salmon, we're wasting a lot of energy. We're stressed, and when we're stressed, that leads to other problems, like how poorly we eat. People need to sort of apply what they know. I'm not going to tell people anymore what the advice to eat anymore is, because I know people know what it is. But I will say something here, which I think is quite simple. There are either foods that are inflammatory or not inflammatory, and there are foods that are going to be, in general, good for us or not good for us. And the good anti-inflammatory foods are fresh, whole vegetables. And so more of that and less of everything else is what I would say. Move in that direction. Don't become a vegan overnight or a vegetarian. Don't throw everything out, but just put more stuff on your plate that looks like a whole vegetable. And try to vary it by making it seasonal, perhaps. And if you have to order it through the mail, then order it through the mail. If it's not available in a local market because you're in the middle of the prairie state and all you have is corn. I know that that's true. That's a predicament that people have. But who's going to take care of yourself if you don't? So I know you get the new Nike sneakers when you want them, or you sort of find a way to get the book you want to read. The food you eat has got to be high on that list, highest perhaps. We need adequate water. So most people run around dehydrated. That's simple to do, Ian. I mean, I can't tell you how important that is to your body's function. Most people might benefit from taking a general multivitamin, especially if their diet isn't approaching this relative ideal that I spoke of earlier. And then maybe, as simple as the first recommendation, which was to just get into rhythms and cycles and just get some adequate rest, is to move. Sitting on your couch, watching other people tell you how you're going to take care of yourself is not going to do it. You have to get off that couch and you have to start taking care of yourself. And it doesn't have to be exercise. I really don't even like that word. But you need to find some activity and probably get outside and enjoy nature and, feel it. That is going to be the initiation of this movement for your whole life, which is movement toward greater health. So the metaphor is the reality, which is when you move, you will move towards greater health.
What's the right, I shouldn't say right, because I know you're very non-judgmental, but what's a good, helpful, and skillful way of thinking about your doctor in your life?
Well, I think your doctor should be a little like your accountant, who you go to once a year, and you do not expect him or her to make the money for you. Your doctor can't make your health for you. What a doctor can do is assure you that you're on the right track, screen you for things early on that you can maybe learn about, that you can then employ a lot of things that I'm saying with effect so that they don't get too far down the track and have more difficult problems. Your doctor can be there when there is a true emergency. Developing a relationship with your doctor, I think, is very important, somebody you can trust. But your doctor, frankly, because I've been there in medical school, doesn't know a lot about this lifestyle stuff. And so you can't expect your doctor to really have a good, long conversation with you about that. And in general, their need is to move along. And so if they give you a half an hour, that's probably a lot. You need a conversation or at least a way of thinking about this that strings over not the course of an hour or even a day, but the next weeks and months of your life until you actually get on the path. And so your doctor is a consultant. But you are truly your best doctor. People talk about primary care. When I was practicing internal medicine, that was a new term when I started practicing and graduated medical school in 1986. That was, internal medicines were internists. They weren't primary care doctors. But managed care changed that. There was a group of people called primary care doctors, the people you would see first. But I actually think primary care is not delivered by a doctor. You are your primary care doctor. You are the person who's going to offer the primary care. Your doctor is a secondary individual in that setup.
And tell us again what a good, skillful, and helpful way of considering your insurance company would be.
Well, so then just think about your auto insurance. How do you use your auto insurance? And think about the food you put into your body, like the gas you put into your car. You wouldn't expect your auto insurance company to pay for the gas. And you don't expect the auto insurance company to drive your car where you want it. So you're driving your vehicle, meaning your body, your mind, your life. So you have to be clear. You have to know where you're going. And so insurance companies are not going to do that for you. I would see them for, hopefully they can provide you with the basic screening, maybe an annual exam so you can develop a good relationship with the doctor and get that basic screening. You can get some good information. You have somebody down the road that you can see if something unexpected happens, something really alarms you, upsets you, there's a family issue. If you need a procedure like surgery, that's what you want insurance companies for. But I would say, frankly, dispense with the concern about deductible. Use all that money that you save if you have a high deductible for your primary care, which is how you take care of yourself, and then buy better food, get to a place where you can be outside, which doesn't cost any money. You can use the same pair of shoes that you're using right now. You don't have to buy equipment. Get into rhythms and cycles. This is primary care. And if you do that, frankly, you're going to spend a lot less health dollars.
Now, let's see if we can come up with a way of conceiving of our government in this picture. The opponents of the Affordable Care Act have managed to get the moniker Obamacare to stick for a reason. Should we think of our government as the nanny that's taking care of us? Should we think of it as, the all-purpose savior? Should we think of it as, an adjunct to our care? How should we conceive of it?
I actually think that's an answer everyone knows. I don't even have to tell them. But you do not trust the government. I am going to predict that nobody who's listening to this actually, truly would trust the government with their life. Okay? Provide certain things for us, structure. Yes, there's some societal rules, and some people are helped, it's true. But do you completely trust politicians or the way that this government works? Are they speedy enough in responding to needs? No. So how would you then look at somebody you don't trust? Would you ask them an important question? Would you follow their advice? I actually think we should, vote for the best people we can, but I'm close to saying we should ignore our government. We should, especially when it comes to the subject of health. And I hate to say that because I wanted President Obama to come up with something that I could fully embrace, and I'm afraid that I don't think I can. It's not to say that I completely that I find difficulty with every aspect of it, but it's so confusing, it's so cumbersome, and ultimately I just can't look at the government as the antidote that we need for better health care in this country. And I think we'll see what happens with this. Maybe more people will have access, but again, access to what? What you need access to is how you take care of yourself, and that doesn't come from the government.
These are wise words. Ultimately, the wisdom comes from inside yourself. Don't need the government to do this for you. It's super helpful if you're uninsured and you now have an option there. If you're one of those 48 million who was uninsured or one of those many more who was underinsured, it's very progressive and very helpful for you now. But intuitively, you know the answer to this question. Are you taking care of yourself? So look in the mirror or look inside yourself and answer that question that Dr. Finkelstein is asking you. Are you taking care of yourself? The answers to that question are fairly simple. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you eating properly? Are you staying hydrated? So again, thank you so much, Dr. Finkelstein. We'll see you on the next podcast.
Thank you, Ian. Have a great day.
You too.